Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Art of Tracking radio show. Tracking is still alive and well. Join us as we interview master trackers from around the world. We'll hear their stories, their secrets. So tune in and enjoy all you hear. Welcome.
Welcome to the Art of Tracking radio show. Today we have Willem Larson with us, a longtime tracker here in the Portland, Oregon area. He runs the College of Mythic Cartography, which you can find online. And he has a tracking lab that we are going to be talking with him today about. I'm here with Willem Larson. How you doing, Willem?
I'm doing well, Garth. How you doing?
Good. So you got something you call a tracking lab, which you have a nice setup at your house where you got a big tracking box you build out in your garage. And what are some of the things you are trying to learn with tracking lab?
Well, there's a couple of different dimensions. One is that fundamentally, all I can bear witness to is behavior. So I can't see what happened through a track. I can only see what that left in the track, right? So, and the kind of things at the level that I'm at, it leaves are these broad brushes, you know, where the weight is on what side of the foot, you know, whether it's forward or back and in what way, how much energy is being driven into the track floor, you know, and it's causing these shearing effects or, you know, piling, compression, all, you know, all the different things, the ways the foot can deform the soil medium. So, you know, when I see what those are, I have to translate those into behavior. And also I have to understand, like, well, how does the soil receive that energy? So Tracking Lab is a combination of understanding behavior, especially through the work of Kevin Behan and his immediate moment analysis that is connects to the constructal law of understanding of flow systems. And so behavior is a flow system. So, but then also soil is a flow system. So when soil fissures or buckles or compresses or shears, you know, those are all effects that are caused by pressure and forces acting on the soil. So I need to understand what, you know, if I stomp my foot down, what effects does that create? And I need to understand the impetus behind stomping my foot down. Well, you know, why would a person stomp their foot down? And, you know, and I'm shooting for, like, broad forces. I'm not trying to say it always means this or what, but, you know, what it means 99% of the time is good enough for me at this point, because at least it is suggestive. And I think, you know, any good scientist would never go beyond that anyway about, you know, what the evidence is encouraging you to think is really the best we can do. So
we got, you got a scientific theory, the constructal law,
yep,
for actual flow systems and how this pressure, mm-hmm, is moving. And then we also have Kevin Behan's work, mm-hmm, with behavior, which also goes back to the constructal law.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you try to flesh these out in the tracking box.
Yeah.
And see what patterns, mm-hmm, you can find.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, for example, a recent one was, it was my intuition. So I'd already experienced and observed in the tracks that if I am thinking about someone, say someone's behind me, my weight shift, even though I'm moving forward in the tracks, the deepest part of the track, or the part that is most compacted in a specific way, it's not usually as simple as just the deepest part, but there's a way of that the track floor responds to the point of the most pressure, where the head is, that it'll it, it, the that that'll be rocked towards or biased towards the object of my attention or the track maker's attention. So it'll be rocked towards the person that I'm responding to or thinking to. And this is an easy thing to, you know, just going for a walk, you'll notice that if someone's coming towards you, if you become aware of them, suddenly you'll feel your weight shift towards them. If you really pay attention to your body, if someone's coming up behind you, even though you're walking forward, as they come up behind you, you'll feel your weight shift the point of most pressure to the back of your heels, right?
So, yeah. And I'm totally reminded of this when you and I were at a tracking class recently.
Yeah.
And you said, think of somebody that was in the class.
Yeah.
And they were right over there.
Yeah.
And as soon as I did, visibly, you and I both noticed that I actually
moved
towards that person.
Yeah, it was a few millimeters, but it was visible. It was visible. So, I mean, even right now, like, you have a microphone pointed at me. Your arm's going to influence it, but you're shifted towards me. And I'm experiencing something that's even more complex because I'm talking to a putative listener. And so I'm talking forward. So although I'm receiving the shift of your energy towards me, my intention is forward towards this listener who's in theory listening to me. And so, I mean, it's what we notice in the tracking lab is that internal experiences have external effects that, like Tom Brown, a well-known tracker, says, that there is no inner or outer dimension. They are not separate. They're completely mixed. So an inner experience, even though scientifically, the scientific world has really worked to remove emotions and sort of fluffy intangibles from the equation, what we're finding in flow systems and in tracking, which is really the study of behavior, that you cannot separate the inner experience from what is the tracks it generates through the physical body.
And that, I mean, that's emotions affect body language pretty much. And
it's very simple. Like, you know, any good FBI, you know, interrogator will tell you that there are all kinds of physical symptoms of an internal effect. Now, you know, they might also say, well, you know, detecting a lie isn't 100% because of this and that, and, you know, so you're more looking for where their discomfort is or where they're having an emotional experience of some kind. And that's very true with the tracks. It's the same thing. I'm not looking for, and never would I say, when if you see this in the track, it always means this. It's always in context, and it always is mixed in with some other factors. And really the pleasure of it is, although I've had some trackers tell me, oh my God, you know, there are so many variables. How do you sort through them all? Well, it's like, you know, learning to play the piano. I mean, there's in the right hand and the left hand, and there's so many variables, but the pleasure is in sorting through all the variables one by one and putting them in their places until you really start to see the map of the territory that is that translation of internal state through physical body into the track.
And I've gone to the tracking lab with you a couple times, and it's really quite enjoyable and fun to do experiments and see what they leave.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's super fun. In fact, I got my partner to, I was doing experiments on, can intent influence the tracks you generate? So if I am, I've been personally playing a guessing game as I work downtown, and there's lots of bodies doing lots of things, lots of human beings moving around, and I've noticed that I'm getting better at predicting if a person is planning to turn into a store, turn into a doorway that's, otherwise not remarkable, if they're planning to walk all the way down to the end of the block and turn the corner. And these are people who are having like an internal experience. They're thinking about things. Maybe they're on their phone, you know, whatever. But so it's not obvious, right? It's not like they're pointing, I want to go into that store right there. It's what you tend to see is that there is this bias. If they, you know, whatever their dominant foot is, and most folks have a degree of dominance in one foot or the other, it'll switch and start, they'll start striking harder down on the foot that is on the side they plan to turn. Especially if they plan to turn. If they don't plan to turn, it'll be more even and there'll be this sort of this more forward aspect. But you'll have this strike that's deeper and harder towards the intended turn. Your toe pitch will flare out just a little bit. And I was telling my partner about this, and she was like, really? And so I had her walk through the box, and I was like, decide you're going to turn in one direction, and I'm not even going to look at you, even though I can see this when I watch people. But I took that away. I was like, I'm going to go away. You could just make the tracks. I'm going to come back and decide whether, as you walked through the tracking box, your plan was to turn left when you exited or turn right. And, I mean, it was, as I watched the tracks, I mean, it was so obvious. Yeah. It was not even, like, close. You know, I was like, wow, you plan to turn left? She's like, yep, wow. And I mean, you had that deeper strike. You had that foot, toe pitch flare out. You know, it just really, you know, there's pressure against the outside of the inner wall in the track. It's amazing. I mean, what's fun is if you do any kind of body work, if you're a martial artist, a dancer, whatever, yoga, and you're used to sensing your body, what you usually will have a capacity to study this in yourself. And it's fun to really just go ahead and go, well, what if in my mind, without turning my head, without moving my body, I think of this person over there or that person over there? Or what if I think of going home right now? Or what if I think of turning right or left? And you can just really play with your body as it shifts drunkenly around, as it's under all these forces of attraction, as it's like bumped and pushed and sucked and pulled. And it's just amazing how liquid our bodies are. And we tend to think of, you know, physical material is relatively inert. You know, the soil is inert, our bodies are inert. You know, I raise my finger to scratch my nose, and it's just a system of levers and pulleys. And although that allows us to build mechanical systems and gives us, you know, is a great tool for building things, it's not a really good picture of the human body, nor is it a good picture of the soil, which is receiving the weight and the forces of the human body. So the best picture is this idea of flow systems, you know, ripples of tension, ripples of release, biases and tendencies and rockings forward and back and left and right. You know, it's really a magnificent.
Yeah. In Tracking Lab, you are not just doing physical mechanical movements. And seeing what they do. You're doing that, but you're also playing with your mind. Mm-hmm. And how it is going to influence your body.
Yeah, and you have to be a kind of a good actor, or you have to be actually feeling the thing you're studying that day. And, you know, maybe you're sick, maybe you're angry, maybe you're happy, who knows what you're trying to look at to see how it would be expressed in the track. There's even, you know, different kinds of turns, slow turns, fast turns, turns with a little bit of elbow in them as you turn to look to the rear, versus turns which have a less commitment and your arms are just at your side as you, you know, move your chin, and so that your eyes can see to the rear. Like, there's you can see all these effects in the track. You know, you can read through how the forces play, whether the soil shears off shallowly, whether it shears off in a great table that juts upward, like some kind of you know, geological feature that you might see in a canyon. You know, I mean, there's all these different ways the soil can react. And for example, if you get your elbow into it, which is a sign that you want to go fast, because the elbow allows a little bit of acceleration of the torso to turn, you can see that on the outside of the ball of the foot, there's this little zone where the elbow just causes this great compression and depth and pressure against the wall. And you can feel that. I mean, you can feel that walking around, that if you use a little bit of elbow action to turn, you'll feel that outside ball really dig in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I think I wouldn't even, I credit all of this effort on my part in recent years. Of course, a lot of it's inspired by Tom Brown, but Fernando Moreira, who's a master tracker and a world-known man tracker, saves lives every month, and teaching and working to this day, he really encouraged me to look into what happens to the track under these conditions, and whether they're called action indicators or pressure releases. We're all trying to figure out what forces are at play and what is that telling us about what the body did and how the soil reacts to those forces that the body generates, you know.
And I'd also like to mention that this is more useful than just, you know, fun. Yeah. And stuff. When you and I were trailing, yeah, a few times, and one of the classes where we were searching for somebody, the tracking was really hard, but we had one good track.
Yeah.
And from that track, you knew,
yeah,
which direction the person was.
Yeah.
And anyways, yeah, that was really eye-opening.
That's unusual, you know, like you usually need a few tracks to really get a picture of a change in direction of travel. But that one was kind of a gimme. And that can happen. You know, you can have these sort of experiences where the track is screaming at you. You know, when you just spend a lot of time, any time staring at a track is good. You know, I mean, I think you can only, the more you draw them and look at them and, but definitely, trying to understand the forces involved is also going to really drive a lot of learning. And, you know, I think we're at a time where the knowledge of these soil dynamics and how these forces from the body interact with the soil dynamics to create these features, these little topographical features that some folks call action indicators or pressure releases or whatever. It's an old tradition to look at these, but it's really a young science. The more people doing this, the better. Because I think for a long time now, I just don't see anybody having conversations about this aspect of tracking. And it really requires a lot of minds to come together and discuss what is going on in the track. So, unfortunately, I've been struggling with finding other folks doing this work. So I'm hopeful that more folks will get involved with it.
Yeah, and just start having the conversation.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, it really is such beautiful stuff. And you know, some folks have said, "Well, is it useful? Is it this?" And I mean, anything you study. I mean, heck, for 20 years. People would ask me, "Oh, you study animal tracking? What are you going to do with that?" And I'm just like, "Okay, yeah. Well, now trackers ask me that about these pressure releases," and they're like, "Okay, guys, come on. Sometimes you just love a thing, you know? You just love a thing and you find it fascinating. Now, does it help me? Yes, it can educate me and suggest lines of inquiry about the being that I'm tracking. Absolutely, you know." I don't think I'm skilled or a rapid enough reader of the pressure releases yet to really be pulling a lot more information. But in my quiet times, like with the intent to turn left and my partner, you know, give me some time. And there's little discoveries like that that I can make in the lab, so to speak, maybe not in the field. But, I mean, we're building towards that. And I think the more of us exploring these, you know, the more we'll learn together. So,
yeah, and some of the tools you've used, I've liked. You have a metal cutter you use to cut the track in half, which you've probably seen that somewhere else, I imagine, or thought of that one.
That's another thing that really is going on, is that, you know, the tools of study, you know, for math, it used to be like, you know, your slide rule, or say engineering, it's your protractor and it's your drafting tools. And so for studying these pressure releases, we're still kind of developing tools that will allow us to explore it. And that's another reason to get a lot of folks involved. I started out using a piece of plexiglass, and that worked okay, and I would use it to vertically cut into the track. It may take a slice out of it, like cutting a cake. And that made it much more easier to see the slope of the floor of the track, which otherwise requires some really good depth perception, you know, and some great lighting.
Yeah.
So, but then as soon as I took that cross section, bam, anybody, even somebody with, like, you know, terrible vision, and they just had to get their nose close enough and they could see it. There's no problem. And most folks, it was obvious.
Yeah, you showed that to a bunch of us out on the beach, and yeah. It was pretty obvious.
Yeah, yeah,
so yeah. Tools are important.
Tools are important. I mean, and that whole study was about whether or not someone's looking down, looking straight ahead, or looking up. I mean, to be able to see that in a track is amazing.
Yeah.
And all we needed was this cross-sectional tool, which now I use. A friend of mine made me a sheet metal, this sort of 90-degree. Sort of, it's almost like molding or something, a 90-degree flashing of sheet metal that I used to make those same slices, and it works much better. But, you know, who knows what other stuff would allow us to learn even more, faster, and get deeper insights about these forces at play in the soil.
And with the constructal law, we should be able to, that tells us that there's going to be patterns, right? Or there's going to be
designs
that are going to be
absolutely
repeat.
Yeah, I mean, much like, I mean, actually, that's a great word, patterns. Like, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, there's patterns of weather that repeat themselves year to year. Even when systems change, for example, we've always known that the weekend after the 4th of July is when summer really begins, right? When the rains really stop and the sun really comes out. Well, now we've been having these warm winters and the sun's been shining in 80-degree days in May. And it's like, but still, after the weekend after the 4th of July was when the 100-degree days started, right? So
yeah.
So it's in the same sense in the track. There's, you know, whirls and eddies and all these chaotic forces, but patterns emerge. And once you start seeing the patterns, much like, you know, different math equations will make different fractal shapes that are very distinctive, you know, you see these same occurrences that are more or less the same, you know, patterns that are not exactly the same, but pretty similar over time, and you see the commonality between them. So that's also been super interesting. And oftentimes it's counterintuitive, like, you know, I thought, you know, I'm still coming to understand what a fast movement in a track, say like a quick turn to look behind me, how that is different from that movement made slowly. And you'd be surprised at how, you know, it's not necessarily what you'd think. You know, it's not necessarily about explosions and fissurings and all that.
Yeah.
That there's, like, more interesting dynamics even going on there because of how the foot grips the soil and how weight shift happens. So, and then, you know, and then it's like, are you standing still or are you, in motion, making a stride? And if you are in motion, at what point do you turn to look behind you? Do you turn before your foot strikes the ground? Do you turn when your heel strikes the ground? Or do you turn only when your ball has struck the ground and you're about to move your rear foot forward? And each of those will create different effects.
Yeah.
But there's a through line, there's a theme through all of them that, you know, will tell you that it's fundamentally the same action made at a different point in the stride. I mean, that's, I don't know, I just get a kick out of that.
Yeah. And with today's technology of being able to take pictures and stuff, we're at a point where we can share things a lot easier.
Yeah, I think...
Over distance.
I think they're, I mean, pretty much there only being a couple of us looking at press releases. It's like, thank God for video cameras, for camera phones, and what they can do, because... You know, what you end up, because it's so easy to take a video and a picture, you end up getting more eyes on this problem, even if some of those eyes are digital, and you can come back to it over and over.
Yeah.
And that's helpful. It's definitely helpful. Still would like more trackers involved, but...
Yeah, well, it has the potential of being able to open up a lot more conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you working on right now? What's your... In tracking lab, what's your most recent study?
Well, it's funny. I'm really talking about the stuff that's most exciting to me right now. It's these turns to the rear and downward that I'm finding really interesting. They create really interesting forces. I used to be all over the map. I wanted to know this. I wanted to know that. But what I'm finding is by sticking with one... physio-mechanical, you know, behavior, that I'm actually able to find, because I keep looking at the same thing over and over, you never can do the same thing exactly the same from time to time. And so it's allowing me to realize as I look at the video, oh, I did that a little differently. Oh, this time I didn't actually look down. That's why I didn't generate this topographical feature or that, you know, and so... So that's been really fun, just turns to the left. And then there's, of course, this, I mean, how the forces of attraction between animal bodies that Kevin Behan talks about, how that affects the track is really interesting. And honestly, I do most of my tracking walking around in my head.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say...
thought experiments.
I would say 10% of my tracking is actually looking at tracks. Most of my tracking is watching people move and feeling my body move. And then that is how I accumulate a bag of hypotheses to then try out in the tracking box.
I like that. Thinking, getting your hypotheses and then taking them to the tracking box.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in the beginning... you need to just stare at the tracks over and over in order to even feel like you could even ask a question. But at this point, like, I mean, going to the box without a question is kind of pointless. You know, I've got to have a question. And that's what drives me to.
Yeah. It's exciting when you feel like you start to find an answer for that question.
Oh my God. It's so good. And when you realize you see a new feature, you know, that you didn't notice before, or didn't look at in that way. It is really incredible. And then there's always, it's funny too, because this is all, I revisit the stuff that continually that I rely on, that I think of as the basics, like how the wall buckles and compacts and shears the wall of the track, and I think I have that down, and yet something will happen. I'll be like, wait a minute, what, that's not, is that what that is? And then I have to rethink it all over again. Yeah. But each of those moments, I realize, drive me to a deeper understanding. It's my willingness to revisit that keeps driving my understanding deeper. So that's not a bad thing. That doesn't mean that I have to start all over again. That is the nature of drilling down deeper and deeper, is realizing nothing is as simple as it seems. And so I've learned a lot about just learning itself by looking at these tracks.
What if people want to join in the conversation and with you on this?
I've got a Facebook group. It's called Willem's Weekly Pressure Release Challenge. I've got a Tumblr blog that I don't really use that much anymore, but they can email me, willemlarson@gmail.com. I mean, the best thing would be is if they showed up in person with some questions, you know?
Yeah.
And if they bought themselves a couple bags of beach sand and they made their own box and could work on some of these things and we could all figure out what we're seeing in common, it'd be the best. Videos are great. Post your own videos of what you're seeing, pictures. You know, there's a lot to learn.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'd like to continue the conversation, you know, maybe check in later and see what other neat discoveries you've come across or who you're talking with and talking about. Well, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for chatting with me, Garth.
Talk to you later.